The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the third chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Holy wisdom, holy word. A Lutheran pastor by the name of Roy Lloyd once had the opportunity to interview Mother Teresa. And during the interview, he asked her, "What's the biggest problem in the world today?" And he said that without any hesitation at all, she answered, "The biggest problem in the world today is that we draw the circle of our family too small. We need to draw it larger every day." How do we open our hearts to one another? How can we live together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as God's family? At the beginning of the service, we had an opportunity to reaffirm our baptisms. We sang the song, "A New Kid in Our Family," a song that was written by Trudy Hoy to celebrate the baptisms of children in our congregation. The title is, "A New Kid in Our Family." Some of us are not so new kids anymore. So I reworked the words a little bit so that they could reflect the fact that we are renewing and reaffirming the promises of our baptism. We sang these words. "We're members of God's family. God's loved us from the start. With water and the Spirit, we pledge to do our part. Pour water on our forehead, and we will be made new. We're members of God's family, a part of me and you." We know that through the gift of holy baptism, we are renewed. We are reborn as children of God. We are drawn into the circle of God's family. And it's interesting to note that we don't have to strive to be God's family. We already are God's family. We are all a part of God's family. We're members of God's family, a part of me and you. The mission of the church is not so much to achieve this unity as it is to live it out. We are God's family. So how do we live this way? Well, there are three things that came to my mind as we live out the reality that we are all a part of God's family. The first thing is generosity. We're called to be generous. Generous with what we have. Generous with who we are. Generous with our love, generous with our forgiveness, generous with how we treat one another, giving each other the benefit of the doubt. We're generous. Second, in God's family, we are honest. We have honest conversations. The truth is, sometimes we hurt each other, sometimes we fail each other. Sometimes we don't even know that we've done these things to hurt others, and sometimes we do them on purpose. In God's family, we talk to each other. We always seek reconciliation. We talk about those hard and difficult matters of faith because we know we have to. We don't have to agree with each other. But we do try to take time to understand one another, and especially to stand beside one another. Third, God's family is inviting. It's not just about us, those of us who gather here in this sanctuary. It's never just about us. It's no coincidence that our national church's first name is Evangelical. Kind of a scary word to us Lutherans in some ways, but in other ways, it exactly says who we are. We reach out and we expand our circle of family to embrace all of God's children. Those of us who have gathered here today, and those of us who are not here. Children across the street. Children around the world. We welcome others to come and see and experience Jesus. And sometimes we go to them with food and clothing, shelter, so that they can experience the presence of Christ. And the good news is that we do too. And that reaching out and that giving, we also experience Jesus. We are not perfect people. I know of no family, except for maybe on TV, that is perfect. We don't always live what we believe. We don't always do what we want to do. But we're people who are intentional. We reach out with honesty and generosity. And we stand together as family because we belong together. We belong together in Christ. This week I came across an article that was written by Elizabeth Lesser. It's a little long, but it is so good. It's a beautiful reminder of how this is lived out, honestly, one life at a time. She writes, "It's the end of a hot and humid August day, and I'm in my vegetable garden with Eli, searching for the perfect size cucumbers to make what my mother called refrigerator pickles. These were my favorite delicacy when I was growing up, as they were for my sons and now are for the current youngest member of the family, Eli, who is 10. Eli is my ex-husband's son from his second marriage, my son's half-brother and a frequent visitor to our house, especially during August, when we make pickles together. It's been a great summer for cucumbers, and the vines twist and climb all over the garden. Eli and I are amassing a huge harvest and enjoying the soft air and the buzzing sounds of summer. When Eli says, 'What is your title to me?' 'What?' I ask, not quite understanding what he means. 'Are you my mother-in-law?' Oh, I laugh, suddenly grasping what he's getting at. 'You know, I don't think there's a title for what we are to each other. There should be.' 'You're not my stepmother,' he says. 'I know that. I think I'll call you my double stepmother. Double step for short.' I look at his beautiful face, which has always reminded me of my first son's face. And I'm struck by the ways in which love will grow like an unruly cucumber vine if you give it enough time and space. Years ago, when Eli was about to be born, my heart shriveled in anticipation of a baby who would be my boy's brother, but not my own child. I felt about as spacious as a clam. But my sons fell hard for Eli the moment he was born. They liked to babysit for him at our house, which after about half an hour meant me taking care of him. I figured that they were responding to some sort of ancient and tribal instinct when a family structure was much less tightly defined. So instead of banishing Eli from my heart, I followed the lead of my kids, and I fell in love with him. Fortunately, my big-hearted husband, who has never met a child he didn't want to play with, was equally enamored with Eli. Soon he was part of the family. I kept his favorite juice in the refrigerator and the treats that he wasn't allowed to have at his own house in the cupboard. Before he learned my name, he called me the cookie lady. He seemed equally comfortable with all of us and unconcerned with bloodline. We were family, his brothers, me, my husband, my stepson. Even after the boys left for college, he visited me and my husband, mostly, I think, for the cookies and for the refrigerator pickles. Now, what is your title to me? Eli asked me. He was really asking, where do I stand in the circle of your family? Mother Teresa said, the problem with the world is that we draw the circle of our family too small. It's not that hard to understand what she meant. The nightly news is filled with stories of small circles. Some people are called to widen these circles through their work. But you don't have to be a delegate to the United Nations or a volunteer at a soup kitchen to do the noble work of drawing bigger and bigger circles. Our friendships and families, our marriages and work relationships, all of them are circles begging for more spacious boundaries. We need wider circles and new titles that relate us to each other, rather than divide us into smaller and smaller groups, family groups, political groups, religious groups, racial groups, tribal groups. I think this may be the only way to save the world from the meagerness of our own hearts. It took a child to show me this, a child and an unwillingness to widen the circle. I had to start somewhere. So I started with Eli. I figured that if I couldn't let a child into the circle of my family, I had no right to give an opinion about the problem with the world. Take a look at some of the more closed loops in your life. Do you really need to keep that person out of your heart anymore? What would it take to give him or her a new title? Have you stayed angry or shut down long enough? Vengeance or protection or cold-heartedness may have served a purpose then, but could forgiveness be a better balm now? If so, take a few small steps toward expansion. Push gently on the edges of your circle and see if there is room within it for the exiled ones. Like the proverbial pebble thrown into the pool, as your circle widens, it will ripple out and set a widening pattern in motion for the whole world. I liked that. I like that very much, because we know that through these waters we are forgiven, we are renewed, we are children of God, we are all members of God's family, a part of me and a part of you. Amen.